Wednesday, March 26th. First reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 5 through 9. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children." Haydock Commentary. Following the law is the proof of their wisdom, because if they observe these commands, their conduct will excite the admiration of all. Solomon often inculcates the same truths, see Proverbs 1:7 and Ecclesiasticus 1:34. Even profane writers applauded the laws and fidelity of the Jews, see The Jewish Wars by Josephus. Supposing the gods of the heathens deserve that title, which of them has the power to show their votaries such favors as the true God has shown to us? The idols are nothing but devils which seek to destroy. But God had manifested his power and love to the Hebrews in the most astonishing manner. He seemed to choose his residence among them in the tabernacle. This Jesus does in a still more wonderful manner with respect to Christians, remaining with them in the sacrament of love, the Eucharist. The other sacraments which he has instituted are more noble and efficacious than those of the old law. He was pleased to take our nature and to dwell among us. The providence of God pervades all things, and though all live in him, see Acts 17:28, yet he shows the marks of the most paternal tenderness to his elect. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Haydock Commentary. It is true that by Christ's coming, a multitude of ceremonies and sacrifices and circumcision were to cease, but the moral precepts were to continue and to be complied with, even with greater perfection. He fulfilled the law by accomplishing all the figures and prophecies and perfecting all that was imperfect. Our Savior speaks in this manner to prepare the minds of the Jews for his new instructions. For although they were not very solicitous about fulfilling the law, still they were extremely jealous of any change being made in the letter of the law, more particularly if the proposed change exacted a more perfect morality. Our Lord fulfilled the law three several ways. One, by his obedience to the prescribed rites. Therefore he says, "It behooveth us to fulfill all justice," and, "Who shall accuse me of sin?" Second, he observes the law not only by his own observance of it, but likewise by enabling us to fulfill it. It was the wish of the law to make man just, but found itself too weak. Christ therefore came justifying man, and accomplished the will of the law. Three, he fulfilled the law by reducing all the precepts of the old law to a more strict and powerful morality. So says St. John Chrysostom. The Hebrew word Amen is here retained by the example and authority of all four evangelists. It is used by our Lord as a strong affirmation of the truth. When our Lord says, "Not one letter or part of a letter will pass," he means, not the least moral precept. When our Lord says, "Whoever breaks one of the commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven," St. Augustine understands this as, "He shall not be in the kingdom of heaven at all, for none but the great in sanctity and virtue shall find admittance into heaven." Do not then imitate the scribes and Pharisees, who content themselves with instructing others in the precepts of the law without practicing them themselves, or if they observe the letter, neglect the spirit of the law, performing what it ordains not to please God, but to satisfy their vanity.